I want to take you on a little ride in Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. It's kind of neat to see St. Paul. I like the way he writes the beginning of this letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Chicopee at the house of prayer, faithful in Christ Jesus. Now you say, well, why did you do that? Because I want to shake your tree. Amen? And even if you think you're in a desert, God says there's green growing. Hallelujah. As for you, verse 1, chapter 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world, or of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. I love that part. Some people get all bent out of shape about that. But let's be honest. In the kingdom of God, it's either black or white. You're either in or out. You're either under the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. Did you hear? It's a spirit. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. It's important to notice that it is following its desires and its thoughts. Why? Because that kingdom is spiritual. Some people think it's natural. It uses the natural to gratify the spiritual. Am I getting you really confused? Hopefully not. The kingdom of the world is still ruled by a spirit. It's not ruled by man. Man is a pawn in his hand, whether you think about it or not. Those who are not of you are of the other. I could take you to the scriptures and say, wait a minute here. When Judas was on the job, Jesus himself said, one of you is a devil. So he had a demon on his team. Did you think about that? So if you've got problems with someone that doesn't kind of like you, it could be that they're coming from the other kingdom. If they've not bowed their knee to Jesus, whose kingdom are they in? Ah. They are following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for me, try that on for size. But because of his great love for me, God, who is rich in mercy, made me alive with Christ. Even when I was dead in my transgressions, it is by grace that I have been saved. And God raised me up with Christ and seated me with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to me in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that I've been saved. Not because I did all my homework or bent on my knees for 3 months or fasted for 6 days. Now that's not in the, you know, that's my version. Did you notice it? Why do you think I want to shake your tree so that you can see why you are here? why you are growing, and why this press to mature you. See, when a child is in grade school, you compliment him, you pull him up by his bootstraps, he or she, it doesn't matter, you help them to get up and do more. Why? Because you know high school is on the way. Amen? Why do you encourage them? Because you know they've got to learn these basic things. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to function. And yet, the demonic kingdom is doing the exact same thing on their part, and they're introducing their witches and warlocks into greater things and greater mysteries so that they can control the world. And we Christians are sitting back saying, well, what do you want me to do? I think I'm all done for today.
Amen.
But now, this word that has come tonight is saying, step out of the boat. Do something that is going to activate your faith. Do whatever God tells you to do, even if it doesn't sound or seem right into your brain. Wait for the Holy Spirit to make sure that it's confirmed. But your grace that you have received is not to be wasted. It is to be activated. Okay? Verse 8 again, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, I didn't write the book. I wish I did, but I didn't. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, to satisfy ourselves, so that we can feel good about ourselves, and we can be so proud that no one else can copy us. That's what real Christianity of the flesh would say. But the real believer is not that way. Again, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Why in advance? Can anybody tell me why in advance?
I think that helps form the faith.
Yes. See, everything that has been will be again. Ecclesiastes, I took you there a few weeks ago. Okay? Recognize. There is a plan unfolding. There's a blueprint already printed out about everything that Christ will do in order to reclaim this world for his Father and ours. And we are part of it. We have been preparing for almost 11 years. You know, basic training. That's where we've been. Now, when he decides to graduate us into the next level, it's going to be okay, but it will be an adventure. A few months back, he gave us a picture of a vision of a train, toy train, running on big tracks. So it was like a train with training wheels. And I was excited about that because that says that we are going to grow. But those training wheels are not going to be there forever. Okay? Do you expect your child or grandchild to have the training wheels on their bike forever? No. Just a few weeks ago, my great-granddaughter got a new bike from her grandfather. And she said to her dad she wanted the training wheels on it because the other one was just too small. And he had already removed the training wheels from her whole bike, but she wanted the new one with the training wheels on it. And he said, Gabriella, we have already discussed this. You have already been riding around the parking lot at the fire station, which is just down the road from where they live. And you do extremely well without the training wheels, so I am not putting those onto your new bike because you don't need them. Well, she gave him a little song and dance, you know, just like little girls can do, little boys can do too. And he said, nope. He says, I'll give you a little push to get you started. And of course, on a new bike, it was a bigger one. So obviously, you know, she was riding around the driveway and she did very, very well. So I said to her, gee, I'm kind of glad that your daddy didn't put those wheels on there because you wouldn't be able to turn those sharp corners. You're turning real good. And so what am I saying? I'm saying the same thing to you Christians. Don't wait for the other guy to get a vision. Ask God for one yourself. Don't look for the other guy to get a word of knowledge. Ask for one yourself. God is no respecter of persons. He's not expecting you to get what they get. He's expecting to give to you something special just for me. Amen?
Amen.
How long does it take before you get started? As long as you want to wait. If it's for the other guy always, it's always going to be the other guy. But if it's for you and you're insisting on receiving, you will receive. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. If you were just doing these things in memory, it would just be something wonderful that happened to you. But since you partake of his flesh and partake of his blood, he is alive in each and every one of you. And you have a tangible product that you can hold him to and say, look, I have received you. I've received you by faith. I'm taking you with me. I am not alone. And when you do this, you do it as an act of faith. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the one and who has made the one, the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you and were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We have access where? To Papa. Don't be afraid to call him Papa. Don't be afraid to call him Daddy. Don't be afraid to say, as it is in heaven, so shall it be in the earth.
Amen.
And that was part of our message tonight. We need copies of